Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast. Each week we sit down and discuss our favorite lore topics from within the Destiny universe. Specifically, we intend to take a close look at a specific question that has been nagging us and potentially the Destiny community as a whole. To fulfill that, our discussions tend to assume that you already have some background in the Destiny lore. Despite that, our goal is to be as lighthearted and welcoming to everyone as possible. With that out of the way, let's dive into this week's topic.
Gotcha.
Just contextually, that's still me taking a stab at it. All right, I think that's fine. With that, I think we can go into tonight's topic. Welcome, everyone. It's good to have you back with us here on this very special recording with just the bagels and I. Totally not like a regular one. No. So this week's topic is called I like Sympathy for Lysander. The Bagels has also chimed up for his support of Sympathy for Concordat. And I'm here for either. We'll put a slashy in there. We can have it both ways because it's literally our show. We can do what we want.
Whatever, we'll do what we want.
Yeah. You can't you can't stop us. Like, you can't name it whatever. The whole premise of this is we're gonna take a look through what little we actually have about Lysander and the Concordat, and what I feel like we'll really end up doing is taking a greater look at the people who said these things, and decide if maybe they're the most trustworthy sources or not. I think what this is going to turn into. But saddle up.
Buckaroos.
Buckaroo bonsais. And get ready for the things to come. Aside from that, you know what we never do, Bagels, with the listeners? We check in with each other. We never let them know how we're doing. How are you doing, but this time so that they'll hear you?
I guess I'm doing fine.
All right.
How clearly, about you, Taylor?
I'm in my prime. Clearly, this was a well thought out segment that we rehearsed ahead of time, and right? We'll be very glad that we left in the show later, I'm sure. All right. Oh, with that, let's take a dive in. Shall I lead, Bagels, or
go for it.
Or is this your cabana?
I'll let you be the master of ceremonies.
Okay, MC Tay. All right. No pressure. All right, so I guess most basic things is you have to go with, things you know about Concordat. And honestly, they only have, like, 8 entries as I look in Ishtar. Mm-hmm. They have, like, 8 total entries, and I think a couple of them are items. So really not a whole lot. Like, and most of the stuff is from actually D1, mm-hmm. Which also always comes with its own...
Asterisk.
Yeah, and I really hate that because I really wish more of the stuff in there counted, just because I felt like Discovery was... Just because we knew so little back then, so every little piece of information...
just mattered so much more.
So much more than it does now. Like, Lysander's been mentioned twice, I think, in D2, and who's given a shit? It's been no one. It's okay. It's okay, it's not your fault if you're like, I give a shit. No, like, we didn't, though. I didn't either. I was like, oh, hey, Lysander. This means nothing, but, you know, hey. there's not a whole lot to go on. What the things we know. The Concordat was famously put down by New Monarchy, who, like, swept in for the final blow in Bannerfall. That was a map in D1, and it's not Bannerfall, but it's basically the map in D2 also.
It's the same map. just a little different name.
Yeah, but it's like it's slightly different. Like, it doesn't have the library and all that shit.
Fair. I'll grant you that.
Yeah, like, the layout's almost the same. It's the same thing, like, with the Mercury and Venus ones.
Yep.
Like, it's the same map, but really not really. There, if you found some ghost fragments, and some other, like, secret items, you could get an item called Lysander's Cry. And we'll get to that a little later. So basically, the Concordat were actually one of apparently many attempts at uprising in the cities in the city age of overthrowing the consensus.
The part of the faction wars. I would say that there were probably multiple factions that attempted to uprise. It's pretty unclear how long this uprising tended to actually go on for. But it does sound like there were multiple factions that were just vying for control.
Yeah, it's well, and it's really interesting to me because I always thought the faction wars were slightly before the consensus. They predated them, and just the way Bannerfall reads is this is sort of the most recent example of a political faction rising up against the consensus, specifically.
It's a little bit murky still. Like,
well, yeah, it's a D1 card, so I mean, like, fair.
Yeah, timeline-wise, I kind of get the impression that there still were quote-unquote faction wars, like, prior to the consensus. But I think, like, the main one we're referring to was definitely post, post-consensus establishment.
You know what my worst fear would be? Is if when we finally learn more about the faction wars, it's something lame like, it wasn't even really about the factions, man! You don't even know! Like, they just forgot about it for so long, they decided to use it for something else. Had nothing to do with the entire build-up narrative where it was mentioned. In reality, like, I would be LaSad.
It would be pretty unlike Bungie, too, because they typically use everything that they throw into the Grimoire and lore.
That's fair. That's fair. This isn't, like, expectation of Bungie. Like, this is gonna be sad. Like, it's like, if 2020 keeps going the way it has been.
And after that happened, the faction wars established themselves.
That's what I'm saying. Faction wars are coming back. No, you don't actually get to join a faction. You'll see. It's cool. It's not actually about the faction.
Yeah. What? Cutscenes? God damn it.
You're the one cool kid who can eat at every lunch table. Don't worry. that would make me sad. But back to reality.
It's going
to
be like Skyrim, basically, where you can be a part of every faction in the game, despite them apparently being in conflict with one another.
I always felt like, at least in Skyrim, if it, like, it doesn't make sense if you're like a barbarian.
Uh-huh.
Right, but if you're like a dude who can like put on makeup and like feasibly like just hide even when he's talking to the people to sign up for the factions, they're like, I'm not sure where he is. It sounded like maybe the bush area over there was, you know what I mean? And really, you were just like skulking around the whole time, and no one can see you when you're prone.
I gotcha.
That would make me giggle. But I don't think that would work. That would work for a faction. My people would be so mad. People would be... I didn't mean to put that evil out there. I hope... Sorry, everyone. Okay. But that all being said, they kind of have some accusations made against them, and then when, like, you hear some of the language, and then consider some of these people who are saying it, you have, so when they're in the consensus, after this happens, right when, you know, I'd say they're sufficiently done, or it's like when they sort of, this is probably right before actual Bannerfall, but I'm looking at Ghost Fragment, the City Age, and as we look through this, it's kind of disturbing because they, like, some of the language they use they start off by talking about what, like, right after they vote to, like, okay, so Concordat, bat. Alright, what are we going to do about Guardians who have pledged to them? And they're like, oh yeah, no, Zavala will realalign them.
Like, doesn't sound like a re-education cap or anything.
Yeah, dude, like realignment... I mean, I don't even like to... Like, ooh... I don't even like being out of alignment when my, like, ooh, I don't know how that went down. That's going to be interesting, and it sounds like you're not sure who all's talking, but it sounds like he's just like, yeah, okay, well, all right, I'm gonna try. He's gonna might have to realign for a bit. But these guys. And they kind of move off. This card actually is most often referenced as when the future war cult is brought to the table of the consensus. And for what we know, that is a much more important aspect of it. But it is a nice reference to what presumably the speaker, like, he's the only one I could think being the one volunteering Zavala to realign people.
I would tend to agree. Yeah, it. I don't know who else would have said. I don't know who else would have said that.
I guess like Saladin could have, but like, would he even say that? Like,
Then Saladin always seemed to have a much more passive role on the consensus, for my impression, because he doesn't even really pop up as
well,
far as.
and I just don't think, especially when he wants every guardian or risen to join, like he's full on in the mindset that you need to talk it out with all of the risen and get them to join the Iron Lords. Like, it just the whole idea of realignment, especially when he's surprised about what happened to Seton.
Sure.
I'm just like, I don't see that being something like, well, like, I guess they were right, that didn't work. How about some realignment there, Zavala? Just get in there.
It's like you're taking your guardian to an auto mechanic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they say it so casually, and it's like, wow, like that's I mean, for anyone who plays D&D, like, alignment's a pretty core thing. it's not.
Flip that switch overnight.
I mean, I think there's also a chance it's. I mean, it could be Ikora, because if you go to another item where they're loosely mentioned, a symbol of honor has nothing to do with Lysandre really, except for there was a campaign to call it Lysandre's Folly. But Ikora doesn't even want people to remember his name, so like, I would hear Ikora talking about some realignment.
I mean, even here, you're seeing people who are so afraid of the concept of the Concordat and Lysandre that they are actively what it seems like
Suppressing him.
actively rewriting history. Yeah, it's a common propaganda technique to just basically overwrite what came before and basically substitute it with whatever you feel is appropriate. So, yeah.
And just rounding out the stuff we know about the Concordat and Lysandre specifically. I do want to bring up the insurmountable skull fort, just because it's such a fun card. Like, there's not a whole lot that talks about what we're going to talk about here today, but like, I imagine this as like something that what's anything that had the Concordat stamp on it would like talk to you in this sort of like 50s school instructional video. You know what I mean? Like the old ones.
I see what you're going for. Yeah, basically something just peaceful and
Or not, no, not even peaceful. Like,
just distracting,
yeah,
maybe.
like the stereotypical, like, hey, I'm Lee Carvello, and welcome to my putting challenge.
I'm gonna significantly. I don't think this has anything to do with Lysandre. I know that it specifically says Lysandre in the card, but I think that's a red herring. I think that this is just a relic from the Golden Age, and that's part of the program, basically. I really don't think it has anything to do with Lysandre.
Well, I mean, I'll maybe not literally if that's what it ends up being, but I bet it still does, because there's no well, there's it's in all caps, it's his fucking name. Maybe he took it to name himself after this, or that was like the first thing he said he saw when he's risen. Like, who knows?
Yeah,
But there's it's not there for no reason.
it really could be. I say that on the basis that I think Lysandre is a Greek character, so it could have been easily, Spartan admiral.
Okay,
It
yeah,
could
but
have like he existed in 405 BC. So it's pretty easily to imagine a program developed by the Golden Age humans and basically throwing him in as a title.
Okay, but like so you're saying that, and I just want to point out that it's like it's a narrative choice that they made to put that there.
Yep.
And there is like an editor. So like, would you be saying that if it said Osiris?
Potentially, yeah. I probably would, because it.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm not saying this absolutely. That my personal opinion is of the fact that this is a red herring.
I don't think it's a red herring. I think it's just like something that they made. I think it's just something that they made, and either it has like something that he programmed for the Health Enforcer, frontline variant. Like it could be just a specific thing like he tweaked. That they're uploading, like all of the factions have gear. So like I don't think it's too ridiculous that this is just like a relic of that. And I mean especially
also possible.
Yeah, especially with the language about like, oh man, like the only thing holding you back is your spine, buddy. Just relax, we got this. We'll get through this together, pal.
At the very least, I want to throw some caution out there and referring that this absolutely has to do with the Concordat and Lysander. That's just my thought process.
We can put an asterisk, a verbal asterisk on that one. For you. One thing I would put out there is in Protected, the lore entry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They list a number of people that Zavala fears coming back and stuff like that.
Yep.
And it's just really interesting that they lead with Lysander. And I always wonder, is this the build-up from like annoying, bad, worst? Or is it like for 1, 2, 3 in that order? Because it's, and I mean, it does cap with Rez Lazir, so it leads to the former, but.
Yeah. It's hard to say what the sorting there is. Obviously, Rez Lazir, he gets separated out from the other two. It goes the next Lysander, the next Toland, the next Rez Lazir. He gets his own sentence there. So it's pretty clear that they're separating out Rezl specifically as a fear of Zavala's, or a fear of the next follower of Rezl,
well,
or Dredinyar, I guess.
Well, here's the thing, though. What do the other two have in common that we don't really know about Lysander?
Are you referring to being guardians, or...?
No. Toland and Rezl Azir.
The fact that they're dead? Well, kind of.
No, the fact that they all went, like, crazy for the darkness. Toland and Rezl went off the deep end, getting into the Ascendant Realm and the darkness and the deep end in different ways, but, like, they have that tie. They were corrupted.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, they have multiple... I should say they have multiple ties together. I didn't know quite what you were reaching for. So,
well, I thought I was going for the obvious, but like I didn't. If you had seen me, I would have given you the high sign, and you would have known like, oh, that's the high sign, and then you would have been on the same page, of course.
I gotcha. No, I definitely Toland and Rezl definitely have, well, more so in the case of Rezl, obviously have delved fully into the darkness. And its properties. And so, throwing Lysander in with them, lumping them in, it certainly draws a few comparisons, that mm-hmm. Or at least a few inferences. Yes.
Sorry.
Yep, you're good. Yeah, so, do we know? We really don't know what Lysander was doing. If he was basically trying to brainwash Guardians onto the side of the darkness... that could have been the case, and throwing him in with Toland and Rezl certainly kind of brings up that as a possible point. It could also just be that basically Lysander was creating a faction that was turning these are things that Zavala fears happening again. So it could just be that Zaval would be afraid of another faction war, where, say, like, New Monarchy rises up against the rest of the Consensus, that sort of thought process. It could just be as innocuous as that, as well.
I mean, there's always a chance if you're going with, like, a full gambit approach. I always take to, like, in life, I would tend to agree with you, that there's a multiplicity of things that could be. It's when, you know, that's different when you're reading something.
I agree.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, it's a narrative choice to lump in Lysander, Toland, and Russell. I would tend to agree with that.
And I mean, it could be something we're not mentioning. It could be like they were all three threats to the collapse of the city.
In their own way.
He could be somewhere else. I really hope they revisit what exactly everyone's afraid of, because I mean, let's check off who he's scared. He's scared, or who Lysander affected, right? Negatively. Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
The speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Saint 14 had anything to do with it, but the Consensus as a whole.
Yep.
In New Monarchy. Now, let's take a look at some of these guys. let's just take a look. Osiris, generally been a good guy so far. I think the worst thing he's did is got us to, like, manipulate time to get his boyfriend back.
That was a pretty questionable thing to do.
Okay,
especially without anybody else involved.
Okay, but we're all glad we have Pigeon Grandma now.
I'm not gonna question that. Yeah. It's great to have Saint 14 back.
Born.
But Guardian.
Born. Feed the board. I still love I'm not sure where I got it, or if I just made it so fast I thought I found it somewhere, but is a meme I shared that it's the pigeon lady from Mary Poppins. It's just the caption, I'm gonna tell my kids this is Saint 14. I'm gonna do it too. Like, this is that Saint 14. It's feeding the boards. It's good.
But yes, I would tend to agree that outside of a few questionable decisions from Osiris, he generally is attempting to act in our best interest, from what we can tell.
So, I just wanted to put out there, he's our benefactor right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff he's done, so far it's just been to bad people. We don't know the extent of all of it. Especially with the fact that so far only his ghost can seem to reset other ghosts. We don't know if that's exclusive to Sagria, but that's the only example of a ghost, like, linking up with another ghost and making it go back to the Traveler.
Mm.
And that's kind of like, if you think about it, if that got misused, like, that'd be fucked. And there's definitely, like, traumatized and or messed up ghosts out there, because that's true. Wouldn't have warlords without it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I don't have any comment on that. I guess that's the case. It's certainly a one-off so far.
Yeah, so I'm not saying I don't know that he's done this, but I like, would you really be surprised if, like, you look at some of the stuff he's done, like how easy it could be abused, and I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying there's...
It basically, he has a lot of power, and if he were to turn to the dark side, we would be in trouble.
or if he was just fucking human about his power usage. Like, he's definitely the type who believes he's right. So I'm just interested to see where that type of thing goes.
Yep.
But you have him. So, I mean... You and I just made a reasonable argument to be scared of Osiris' potential.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I do not want to cross Osiris.
So, I wonder if he's so unreasonable either, especially if you consider that perhaps, like, Anna Bray, and I know this is on our list, we haven't discussed it yet, so, like, bear with us, listeners, in this being, like, a sort of, like, teaser, I guess, to another theory, but if he's like Anna Bray, like maybe he did have some enhancements that he was risen with. Because like I don't think Anna Bray got her stuff.
Or there's some truth to what the Concordat and Lysander refer to as Osiris having been a failed Golden Age experiment.
Bullseye. This guy gets where I was leading. So yeah, like that's sort of where I'm coming from with that, because there's got to be something that allows him to interface with all the different technology that he does when other people have failed to be able to do so. I think it goes beyond understanding, because like, for all his faults, I don't think anyone thinks Asher is an idiot.
Yeah.
Annoying, yes, but not an idiot.
Definitely, yep.
And he tried to do stuff with Vex technology, and he lost an arm. And he's afraid to do anything to the Vex technology. Osiris would have, like, taken that arm off and built another Osiris out of it.
Probably not wrong.
Like, I'm not... Oh, like, You thought Osiris got this arm? No, this arm got Osiris. Hold on. that's the way he's, like, behaved so far. He's like, oh, yeah, like, I had a little bit of X technology, so I made fucking H.G. Wells' time machine here on Mercury. Well, you're gonna take it through the Vex network. This'll be a blast.
<Let's go>. Right. Like, don't even question it. It'll work out. Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
I'm Osiris.
Yeah. It's going to spin real fast. You stay safe. Let's go rescue my boyfriend. and so just like, once again, like, not incredibly unreasonable statement. And then you have the speaker, who I think we all have a lot of misgivings about, especially given recent lore. I mean, the speaker wasn't even telling the whole truth about the Traveler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I think there's a strong argument to say the speaker had everything. He was doing what he thought was best.
The speaker...
I think there's an argument to say, like, he felt like he was doing the right thing, but, like, Jesus Christ, Renee. Like, you can't...
What we've got so far is multiple experiences where the speaker was extremely one-sided in his actions, and once he was convinced he was right, he did what he thought was right. What comes to mind in particular is Osiris's exile, where mm-hmm. basically he saw Osiris's followers, and he was absolutely convinced that because his followers were basically interpreting Osiris's works in a specific way, that Osiris had to be his works had to be eliminated, and that Osiris himself had to be exiled.
Well, I think it was did you ever feel like the way the speaker reacted was kind of like Moses seeing the golden calf, seeing Moopy for the first time? I just made a Bible and a Jay and Silent Bob reference. So I apologize
gotcha.
To everyone.
Just a pure, like, sacrilegious interpretation of what Osiris was and what his teachings stood for, essentially.
Well, I mean, the dude started actually hamming it up in what he wore, whether he wanted it or not. Like, meme inbound. No, but, like, so he doesn't want anyone's recognition. And then there's just, like, a throwaway comment. Well, I wear this to ham it up. And like, they think I'm just, like, another follower. And I was like, they think you're the only one who goes in and out of your house.
Right?
You just tell them your name is Zeke? Like, you're just going in to use the bathroom for, like, hours at a time? Like, I always thought that was silly. But, like, I think part of his ego, like, definitely, like, ate off it. And I think they alluded to that, especially in the comic.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't think that's the most... And if you look at this as a sort of a... not a love triangle, but like a triangular rivalry. Everyone hates the other one. None of those people like each other.
So you've got a triangle of Lysander, Osiris, and the Speaker?
Yeah, and no one likes each other.
Yeah.
Each corner of the triangle hates the other two corners.
I don't know that Osiris necessarily hates the Speaker. He makes it clear later on, and mind you, this is like post-Speaker's death. So, but he makes it pretty clear later on that he didn't really resent anyone for being exiled. It was more so he didn't feel like it. People just didn't understand what he was trying to say,
Well, I mean, all right, so
and
while
being right certainly helps him there.
certainly, well, I just to add to what you're saying as a sort of yes, Dan, and sorry, I started to talk over you. I thought you were done.
You're good.
Sorry, but I think the exile, because that was something the actual consensus, and he doesn't hate the whole city, so I think that lends itself to that. He was clearly upset with the speaker in those same comics before it came to exile.
That's true. He was angry there.
Like, clearly, like, mad boys.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So I submit that. There's no love lost between those that triangle.
Yeah, definitely at the time there was significant anger between the speaker and Osiris. I would
Yeah.
definitely agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. So it's just really interesting that we can believe two, but not the third. About who to trust, and we do it so easily because it's such a throwaway comment to make. Like, oh yeah, the Lysander and the Conqueror Out. Like, you read it everywhere. Yeah, fuck those guys. But then you, especially with like, so we just went over Osiris, and then we got the Speaker. Like, we started to say, like, not really trustworthy. Been withholding. Been very self-serving. I think there is a lot of, with the opportunity to be in power. The speaker, perhaps even the last speaker, depending on how old people live in the city age, certainly embrace that power very freely. And they're willing to do some weird shit to hold on to their speaker power. Like, have a mask with glass that digs into you. Dude, you know what I just considered?
What's
Speaker was human, right?
that? I believe so. We really haven't had any confirmation on that, but I would guess as much.
Or Speaker was not a guardian. I want to put it that way. Speaker was not a
Correct.
guardian.
Definitely.
What if Speaker gets risen? A la Aldrin into Kevin asterisks until he gets named.
It'd be pretty cool to see if not the speaker, the last speaker. Risen or a risen speaker.
Well, I would particularly enjoy the last speaker because it could you like wouldn't know. He's like, I think I was a speaker. You're like, a speaker? Which speaker? And then later you're like, I fucking knew it. Fucking Randy.
We would honestly never know. Probably. Does anybody know what the speaker looked like?
Gaul.
There's a good source for
Yeah,
this appearance.
Gaul. Gaul knows. They
I
knew.
suppose I don't know if his body was ever. I assume his body was retrieved off of Gaul's ship, probably. So we probably do know what the speaker looks like.
Isn't there like a little funeral thing for him?
Yeah, like right at the end of the
Yeah.
D2. Yeah, I think there's a cutscene there.
Like a
I
little
think you're right.
funeral Jim Jam.
Yeah, so like a funeral pyre or something like that.
I remember a casket, but I felt like there was like a flag over it or something, like
Yeah,
cloth.
something like that.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of right. I think there was something.
Thought there was a thing for him, to be sure.
Yeah, I'd have to go back. It's been so long since I played
Well, and clearly,
the
well, yeah, but
vanilla campaign.
and clearly, like, we went through that. We wouldn't have known about the guardian who was trapped if we didn't have at least a control enough to do a clear sweep of the Almighty before we
Sure.
got out of there.
Well, he, to be clear, the speaker was not on the Almighty. He was on Gaul's capital ship, which was next to the Traveler.
Fair, then that's an even greater expectation that we'd be able to go through and clear it out.
Correct. Yep.
So, Booyaka Shah.
Right?
So, yeah, I mean, the consensus, just based on the interactions that we've gone over between the last two candidates that Lysander and the Concordat seems to have wronged, the consensus seems to be, like, a little shifty itself, but, like, I kind of understand it. Like, what they say, like, politics can be inherently shifty, to paraphrase what I'm sure is a saying somewhere.
Yeah, just to kind of expand on the speaker a little bit too. We've got his whole book, Constellations, or it's not just him. Obviously, it's several speakers post collapse.
Oh yeah,
and their whole essentially lineage,
mm-hmm.
Regarding what it's like to be a speaker, and eventually it specifically dives into the speaker that we knew, the last speaker, and. We established that he withholds certain parts of the tenets in order to, it seems like in order to make sure he holds this city together is his mindset. He thinks that if he said that the Traveler will leave us, it basically will result in people not trusting that they are safe in the last city, and therefore leaving it.
Can I add something to that? And this is definitely sure. Spin foily, but I feel like I'm sure. On the right show to give it
Noah,
to give it out there.
Spin foil here.
I know. This is a very concrete space, sir. I think that it's a very important thing, but I think there might also be an article of. He might actually be under all speakers might actually be under the influence of the Traveler. And so his instinct to rally what's left of mankind to protect the Traveler by way of champions made by the Traveler, I think isn't the most ridiculous thing when you consider it from that angle. Like, he might not even know he's being led in that direction.
That's entirely fair. We do have evidence, like, the Traveler appears to insert words into mm-hmm. the Constellation book, and it would not be a stretch to imagine that that's essentially the Traveler inserting its thought process into the speakers, subconsciously, essentially.
Yeah.
Just kind of insert this little chain of thoughts here and coerce the speaker, who obviously is going to have some sort of following just by the way of who he is.
You know what's fucked up about the whole thing? The way the Traveler is referred to, especially by the speaker and I guess like most of the city, is speakers are prophets. And the Traveler is I don't know if it's like the same thing as like the capital G god, but it's definitely a god.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the speakers don't worship that, I don't know who does worship anything.
I would say that's entirely apt. We've got multiple instances. I mean, we're just referring to essentially the speaker being referring. We referred to Osiris as like the golden calf earlier. That's essentially the same concept right there. We've got the speaker who wants to protect his religion of the Traveler against what he perceives is a undermining of that religion.
You know, it's really
obviously he doesn't refer to it as a religion, but that's essentially a very similar concept.
You know, we're hitting on so many, we're checking off so many boxes right now. I have to bring this up, even though this was my idea. To bring it up, even though this whole operation was my idea. Because it just came to me. Dead Orbit throws a monkey wrench into that whole goddamn thing.
Okay.
The only thing I can think of is that they're popular enough slash manipulatable enough that, because their whole thing about leaving Earth, leaving the Traveler, would be in full conflict and everything we were just saying, right? As to why they would even be allowed to be like a member of the Consensus. However, if you need long-range scouts, and you basically have people in this loop to where they'll never really be able to leave, but you have people just like that you have there to like just sort of push the limits and maybe put themselves in danger, then it makes a little more sense. But yeah, what do you think about that?
I've never really fully understood why Dead Orbit just basically didn't take off.
They want everyone to go with them. It's an all or nothing thing.
That's kind of my impression as well. And I think the only reason that they're part of the Consensus is because they are popular, that popular, and they are non-violent, which was obviously
they're non-violent at humanity.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much everybody is that's currently a member of the Consensus or the Vanguard is non-violent towards humanity at this point. It was more so a reference to the earlier factions, which were clearly quite violent to one another and possibly humanity itself.
Okay, as we've gone over, New Monarchy does not fit that standard. They will put down people who speak up. Case in point, our subject matter tonight.
But have we established if the Consensus wasn't at least behind that? We know that New Monarchy has always been a little bit more militant than the groups.
Well, that wasn't the only battle, right? It was the final battle. Now, it may have been the first battle also, but I feel like that would have been a talking point in the narrative, yeah. Right? In, like, one fell swoop. But that was the final push, was my understanding as I read it.
It's hard to say.
And it also kind of reads like they didn't do any of the earlier battles. It's like they're, like, holding back and they're like, oh, man, that's so bad. How could they say that about the Consensus? What? You guys... And then, like, right when they're about to, like, fail, they're, like, swooping in real hard.
So here's the actual terminology. This site marks a legendary battle where New Monarchy's guardians rose to deliver the final blow to the Concordat, unraveling the war effort Lysander sought to bring against the Vanguard. So it says that they struck the final blow, but it doesn't really say anything about whether or not they weren't involved in any earlier skirmishes?
Oh, no, I get it doesn't literally say that. I was trying to say, like, that's the feeling it gave me the way I read it.
I think it's more so in reference to the location. It's where the final blow to the Concordat happened. And the card is specifically about Bannerfall. So I'm guessing that's basically why it's referring to the final blow specifically on this card.
Well,
I could see it.
Well, it's where they say they rose to deliver the final blow. That I think led me down my thought
sure.
process.
Sure, I'm not saying that it's not possible that New Monarchy basically sat out the rest of the conflict.
Well, maybe not sat out, but like maybe didn't make a name for themselves, and then they like rose to the occasion.
Sure.
And we're like...
Maybe held back until Bannerfall, essentially.
Right? Well, and it's really interesting, like, if you remember Bannerfall, like, there's, like, some pennants and flags and stuff, but, like, the shit painted on the wall is all New Monarchy, but, like, that stuff is shot up. It's not like they painted over it after the fact. Like, the bullet holes don't have the paint, like, even in the card. That you look at.
I think that's just pocketed concrete. I don't think that's shots on that. But
you don't think that's bullet holes? All the little pocky marks? Even the littler ones?
I'm going to refresh my memory from D1 on the Bannerfall map.
Well, if you look it up on Ishtar, you can see the photo they used on
Yeah, I already have that pulled up. I was just going to look at the... Because I think those that's just concrete words over time. And so...
Okay, but like, I'm not talking about the bottom. I'm talking about like above that. As well. Like the bottom, like, yeah, that's a little more standard breakage. But then like, those are bullet marks.
It is also a crucible map, though.
I mean, but like, why would they paint it up? Well, alright, yeah, fair enough. It's a crucible map. You could paint it up for any number of silly reasons.
Yeah. I'm not going to put too much stock into Bannerfall's appearance.
Yeah, the more we talk about it, the more I feel like Bannerfall is like a silly like Civil War reenactment thing.
Kinda, yeah. Like, I think that's kind of the right feel to it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they got the sides painted for who you're supposed to be. So yeah. there's no confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, I concede that point, the Bagels. I concede. but back to brass tacks here. Like, I am honestly, like, I kind of want to hear what Lysander has to say. I kind of want to see what's happening in that wilderness and see what the fuck is up, because honestly, like, the air quotes wrong people he pissed off, like, all seem to be at least, like, arguably untrustworthy or, like, worrisome.
Yeah, at the very least, they put out propaganda that's beneficial to the consensus.
Mm-hmm.
And tries to bury what the Concordat is.
Yeah, because we have no idea what they actually, like, were about.
We have no clue what the basis of the Concordat was.
Fucking Ikora would rather they be forgotten than have some silly shit named after him. Like, no, suppression.
But to be frank, I would say Ikora's a fairly trustworthy person for the most part. She's not perfect. She's flawed, just like the rest of the Vanguard. But she, if there's one person that would probably at least justify the disappearance of the Concordat and convince me that that was appropriate, Ikora would probably be one of the few Guardians that could do that.
Well, and I say this to be cheeky, if you're going to be frank, I'm going to be curt and say Ikora would never explain it to you that way. You would never get that explanation. She would never try to convince you. She would simply do it and not tell you.
Yeah. Ikora's interactions with our Guardians, that's kind of like that for the most part.
Literally just about everyone. Maybe, like, people you can count on one hand, and you still probably got three fingers to do fuck all with.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of otherwise is the comics with Osiris.
He's one of the two people. Yeah, like he's one of the two people.
I understand.
The other being that person from Owl Sector is the most that she's actually been like open with. Sure. She is very professionally warm to both Cade and Zavala, and I think even the Speaker. I felt like they were very like congenial. Like, but you actually like learned about her. I think there's, like, literally two people in the lore that we're aware of. That I can think of off the top of my head. If anyone wants to correct me, please add us.
I guess it was less a comment on Ikora being open about her reasoning, and more a comment about, I tend to trust Ikora, implicitly.
She is the Tower's Savathun.
Just because she has the hidden doesn't necessarily mean that she's...
She's the intelligence officer. Like, she's the smart one. She's the one who can keep a secret. Which is where I was kind of going with the fact that she would never tell you. Like, she could do it for the wrong reasons. And based on our interactions so far... Just as with Osiris, I'm sorry, her predecessor, that we pointed out. Like, we don't have any records of her doing, like, anything silly that's, like, super worrisome. Like, resetting ghosts. But, that being said, like,
We don't have a whole lot of information about what her actions are a lot of
well,
the
all right,
time.
she is pro the city and pro the city government. But if we can't trust other portions of that, and she's pro it, there's at least room for disagreement there, because she might be, this is just the best option.
Sure. I will respect that. It was more so a comment on thus far. Ikora seems to be a fairly trustworthy
Well,
individual.
same with Osiris, though.
And I'm not saying that Osiris isn't. I'm just saying that for the most part, that's what we have for information to go off of. And
As
now
well.
reading between the lines, there is some room for disagreement on whether or not they
Well.
have poor methods at times,
Well, I would say
or
back to that ghost fragment we referenced, as I was unsure, but I've since read, because I looked it up, just to be sure. They refer to the speaker as though he's not there. So then my next best guess is that she was the one suggesting that Zavala take some guardians in for realignment. She's my next best guess. I'm not saying it was her. It doesn't identify who is speaking.
I'm still not convinced that the
Well, it's a
speaker
me it's a
wasn't there.
well, it's I mean, it could be one of those things, but like, wouldn't that be fucking weird to refer to the speaker in the third person when he's in the fucking room? Unless it's like a weird thing like in fucking Congress, where you can't actually refer to someone directly.
Oh, you are correct, actually. Unanimous, good. We'll grant the future Warcaller access to the tower and a seat amongst us. Ghost, please offer the speaker this proposal. So he definitely wasn't there.
Yeah, he's like a
Yeah.
different branch of government.
I think he was present at some meetings,
He's present in a
but
lot of things. I mean, we've seen that through the comics, right?
yeah, it was more so a comment that yeah, he's there a lot of the time, but he still is more like a religious figure than a true leader at times. And the consensus is more of a governing body, and so it kind of feels like the king in Game of Thrones. He kind of lets the council do their thing, and then he shows up whenever he feels like it. That's kind of
Oh
the
man.
feeling
But he had no hand.
I get.
Anyway. So I think, is there anything else we're missing? Is there anything else we're not thinking of? Or I'm not thinking of? Hair bagels?
I do want to go on a little
Do
bit of
it.
a di
Do
diatribe,
it.
just counter to our thought process here, just on the basis that we really don't know what Lysandre and the Concordat do. There could have been a fully justifiable reason to put them down, and the very fact that Eris refers to Lysandre in the same breath as Roland and Rezul Azir especially. Basically, it gives me some pause to say that Lysandre wasn't doing something completely unscrupulous and trying to basically bring Guardians over to the dark side. That I just want to throw some caution to this whole thought process out there. It's pretty clear that there was at least some reason to. If it wasn't justifiable to shut down the Concordat, there was at least some thought process that led the consensus to believe that they were an active danger to either the Traveler, the consensus itself, or the Speaker. So, I just want to throw that out there. I'm not saying that it was justifiable. In fact, we have many examples counter to the consensus being right all the time, but there's clearly some evidence that they were dangerous. So, yeah, that's my thought process.
So, I just want to offer couple points about Eris. One, she was a hidden, agree?
Yes.
Two, Eris is not in service of the tower. Eris is in service of her queen. Agree?
Mostly. She's certainly aligned with the queen, but she definitely wants to see...
We don't know
which
queen.
At the very least... What's that?
We don't know which queen.
It's pretty clear that's Mara.
Again, we don't know which one.
I would take a lot of convincing for me to be convinced that it's anybody but Mara at this point.
Well, I mean, at least half of them.
I understand the thought process there, but most of the evidence is to the contrary of it being Savathun, and fully in force of it being Mara that she's supporting.
Well, it's that she also served Mara. The beauty of the angle, if it, thinking that it might be Savathun, is that she would have been betraying Mara the whole time also, and that it's Savathun who allowed her to escape Crota's throne world and the Ascendant Realm in the first place. I mean, that's the beauty of that, and it's, but like it, how can I say this? Both still have like equal standing as far as I'm concerned. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay, that's fair. I can respect that. But yeah, not sure where I was going with that. Lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
Sorry,
you're good.
I didn't mean to.
But regardless, I just feel like we shouldn't throw Eris's comments out the window, even if there is some degree of speculation about her motives. It's...
Well, I guess what I'm asking is not that for you to stop believing Eris, it's to murky the water.
Sure.
Like, do you have a little more consideration as to what's going on with Lysander?
Just because you basically threw a little bit of concern into Eris's motives, or...
To everyone involved.
Well, everybody's got their own agenda, pretty clearly. I definitely have some pause. I definitely have a little sympathy for Lysander on the basis that it's pretty clear that we don't have a whole lot of information to go off of, and we have a lot of information about the people that are involved in the story that they are, at the very least,
questionable.
Questionable, yeah.
Groovy. That's what I was shooting for. So, with that, the bagels. Let's do a final score here. What say you?
My sympathy for Lysander is around a 4 on the made up sympathy scale.
Okay. Got a 4.
It's pretty low. I'll say that much.
I have 17 sympathy for Lysander because we haven't even heard, we haven't even interacted with him yet. And I feel like we give more credit to people in the story who we've pretty much deemed untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm. That's,
and just because trustworthy people have agreed with them, that doesn't make their spearheaded thing very trustworthy. So I'm giving him a 17, which, as we know, is a great number.
Yeah.
That's right. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm glad we've established that.
Yeah. Shoutouts, Mr. Bakes. You got any shoutouts?
Gonna keep it kind of low key. Just shout out to you, Taylor, for having a birthday this week.
What?
I think we have to call those out when they happen on the show nowadays. I guess shout out to Wicked as well for his birthday.
Yes, to Wicked Jester, happy birthday from the Spinfoil Theory podcast. Got it. Well, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that.
That's what I got. So, yeah. Aww. How about you?
Thank you. I want to give a shout out to, I don't know if she'll ever hear this because she doesn't play Destiny, but I want to shout out to my girlfriend Kari for treating me very nice to my birthday there. She took me out to Virginia, and we went to some different wineries and distilleries on a little safe tour in a couple of the places. Like, it was literally just us there. Totally great. And I didn't have to drive, so I got tipsy. And I came home and I fell asleep at like 8:45.
The
And
perfect day.
that's what I'm saying. Like it was great. It was great. Had barbecue, there were wings involved. There was a bacon sandwich. I tried Sonic for the first time, believe it or not. So this whole thing started. I was telling her one time that I'd seen ads for Sonic for like decades, but there'd never actually been a Sonic in this area. So it's just like, oh, well, like, okay. Like, it's not like you're like craving fast food, but you know what I mean? It's just like, I actually wonder now because I've seen so many goddamn ads.
I know exactly what you mean. I see Sonic ads all the time. There are none nearby. I didn't try
Dude.
Sonic until I drove to Texas last year.
Dude, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm fucking saying. So like I'd actually gone to a Sonic twice, and it was something like they were accepting cash only because their internet was down and I only had card.
Sure.
And so I couldn't get any goddamn Sonic. Like, even though I'd finally found one. Like a couple times, and so this time I went there and it went off without a hitch. I had the Chicago style dog. Having
Okay.
actually had a Chicago style dog, it's trying its best. But it wasn't the worst fast food experience I'd ever had.
That's about what I would expect.
Yeah, it's trying, which, you know, it's good for it. But so yeah, no, I had a lovely birthday. So my shout outs to my lovely girlfriend,
Yeah,
and
got
thank you for the well wish. With that, guys, everyone out there, please stay safe. Please continue to be the positive force you are and can be in the world. And until next time, bye bye.
Bye. That's the end of this week's topic, but be sure to check out our past and future episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. If you have any questions about this week's topic, want to discuss Destiny lore with us, or if you just feel like reaching out to us, you can find us on Twitter at SpinfoilTheory, or you can email us via spinfoiltheory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening!